Welcome to the Crunch Time Podcast. The Steelers narrowly beat the Eagles to remain atop the AFC North. LeBron James wins his fourth NBA title as the Lakers take the NBA championship over the Heat. And the Tampa Bay Rays lead the Astros 3-0. All of this and more coming up on Crunch Time.
Welcome to Crunch Time, the second episode of Crunch Time, excuse me. I'm Colby Sherwin here with Cameron McCariola, Ethan Morrison, Ian Connolly, and coming up a little bit in a couple minutes or so, we have our first official guest, and Drew, I'm probably going to butcher this, Lowry? How do you say it, guys?
Lally.
So basically, today we decided we have a guest, and he's going to be a judge and a guest debater. So, Drew, welcome to Crunch Time.
Hi, Colby. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Not too bad myself. Sports winding down. We still have baseball playoffs, NFL going on. Doing fine.
All right. That's great. So we're all going to ask you one question. So mine is, you're a Patriots fan. How are you feeling about Cam Newton? Packers. You're a Packers fan. Aaron Rodgers, Stephen A. Smith calls it a bad man this year. So how are you feeling about that?
Well, to be honest, they're the only team that I like that I feel really good about right now. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's on a revenge tour right now. He doesn't look like he's very happy with the Packers' draft selection. You know, they drafted Jordan Love, as we all know. But yeah, like you said, like Stephen A. Smith said, he's a bad man. I love me some Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, Drew, as a Bruins fan, I know you're a big Bruins fan. How much salt do you still have over 2019?
A lot of salt. I'm still very, very mad about Game 5, the missed tripping call. Turning point in the series right now, or right there. I know the Bruins ended up winning Game 6 in St. Louis. But the thing I'm a little more disappointed about was just they just flat-out laid an egg in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. This is completely unacceptable, and it's been over a year, and I'm still not over it.
Drew, you're a Yankees fan. Your Yankees made it to Game 5 in the ALDS. What did you feel about that game? Tough loss off of that home run. What were your thoughts on that?
That was a very tough game. Got to give credit to the Rays. They're a very good ball club. They played the game just how they wanted to. At the end of the day, the Yankees bats just failed them, and it's been too many years in a row with these bats failing in big postseason games. And it's the second year in a row where Aroldis Chapman is on the mound for the game-winning home run. So that's something the Yankees need to address this offseason.
Yeah, how did you feel about that? Two straight years where he's blown games.
Not very good. I prep myself on watching every Yankees game, and I know he gets the job done most of the time. But in a big spot, I just don't have confidence in him. And I think the Yankees have a better closer on their team right now, and it's Zach Britton.
Ooh.
I think a swap needs to be made there.
I would say the 2019 game, it could have been cheating. We don't know, but it's the Astros, so that's my thought at least. Ian, you got anything?
Not too much. I think we'll hear a lot from Drew, but I think especially going in right here, a lot of kind of breaking news. Colby, is there any, before we get into our debate topics, lots of news in those debates, but is there anything breaking news that you would like to share with us today?
Not so much breaking news, but three of the five of us here, because of Drew, are Steelers fans, and I'm sure we're all going to love this. Le'Veon Bell has been cut by the Jets.
He sure has.
Cam Newton has tested negative for coronavirus, so that's very good. But Nick Saban has tested positive for coronavirus. So those are some big sports news.
Also
want to add in the Florida Gators, LSU Tigers game has been canceled. 21 players on the Gators have tested positive for COVID-19. So just to add that in, once again, along with the other COVID tragedies around the sports realm.
Alrighty. So that's what's breaking around the world of sports right now. But let's get on to our debate topics. As I said earlier, the Steelers narrowly did beat the Eagles to remain atop the AFC North. They won with a score of 38-29. The Eagles did come within two late in the second half, but Pittsburgh finished it out strong. However, one important thing to note on the Steelers' end of the ball, Deontay Johnson left the game early, and that is the second game in a row. So I'm sure whenever you're in the Steelers' front office, there are many, many concerns regarding our top wide receiver. You could say top wide receiver. We have a pretty big receiving core for this year. However, the big topic and the big talking point for that Steelers' win against the Eagles was Chase Claypool. Yeah. So one thing that I can ask you guys, with a rookie that had, which he was the first rookie in NFL history to make three receiving touchdowns and a rushing touchdown in one game, is Chase Claypool the real deal, and would you compare him with any other player around the league?
I'm going to have to say it's too early to tell. It's game five for Chase Claypool. I've liked what I've seen so far. Honestly, I can be completely honest and say I did not like the pick when they originally made it because they said he was a tight end, and I was feeling that the Steelers personally did not need a tight end at the point, but I do like what he's doing production-wise, but for me, it's still too early to tell with Chase Claypool.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with that. Cameron, would you have any thoughts to add to this?
I don't like him.
You don't like him.
Why do you not like him?
He put up four touchdowns on the team I support, so it was upsetting. And I mean, a lot of his plays were caused, not a lot, but some plays were caused by the defense. Like our coordinator, he put on a pivotal third and long, he put Nathan Jerry to cover him one on one after his dominating game, and it's unfortunate.
Not too high on the chase train.
The one thing about Claypool that I have liked seeing, though, is his draft profile said he was a pretty good route runner. And seeing the routes he's been running for the Steelers, they have looked pretty good, so they were pretty right about that. He's got some good speed and good hands, so that's really nice to see, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with everything what Colby said. He was actually a wide receiver in college, so he was not a tight end. In college, just want to put that out there. But yeah, I also think it's way too early to tell. I think Steelers fans just need to breathe a little bit and just think it's just one game. But he has been putting up impressive numbers all throughout. He had a good game against the Giants. I think he only had one really bad week or really off week for him. But yeah, he's been playing well. A lot of Steelers fans didn't like the pick and everything. I loved the pick personally. I thought we needed size at the wide receiver position, something that we were really lack. The Steelers were really lacking, not we, because I don't play for the Steelers.
You sure don't.
They're pounding that home.
But just a little bit too early to tell. I think it was the smart pick because we already have so. Oh my god, I'm gonna keep messing up the whole time. The Steelers still have so many running backs. They have McFarland now, Connor. They still have Samuels on the team.
I like him.
So I have a question for you, Steelers fans, though.
Yes.
The combined record for the teams you've beat are 2-0.
That was not the question. That was not the question.
I'm just saying.
We beat the Eagles.
Claypool's doing good. Is it because he's playing bad teams?
No, let's reel it back. Let's reel it back in here and talk about the actual question. So, Claypool, a lot of people have gave him the nickname Mapletron because of Calvin Johnson. Definitely represents that build. I think he's going to be something special in the city of Pittsburgh. Very humble guy. If you have not seen the Pat McAfee show,
I was about to say that.
He made an appearance on that show on Monday. It was a good segment, so you should definitely check that out. But yeah, just an overall great guy. I think he'll be in Pittsburgh for a while and put up impressive numbers as well.
Drew, do you have anything else to add to the Claypool discussions here?
I'd say I agree with parts of all of your statements. I do agree with you, Cam, that the schedule hasn't exactly been daunting for the Steelers. I mean, I know they played the first place Philadelphia Eagles, but let's be real about that division. But no, you all made very good points. I think he's going to put up some good numbers in the next couple of years. I'm kind of a believer in the sophomore slump, so I'd say watch out for next year. But I think he's going to be a good long-term piece for the Steelers.
As a team, this couldn't have came at a better time for Juju, because now he can move back into that slot position, which will bode well for everyone on that entire offense. So overall, it's a great time for Chase Claypool to come out and show what he's made of.
I kind of want to see whenever Deontay Johnson does get back, him slot at one, Claypool at two, and then have Juju in the slot. But can they take Deontay Johnson off punt return? That's all I got to ask, because that's how he got hurt.
Ray McLeod.
I agree.
He's an impressive guy, that end around against the Eagles in that game. That was impressive. He has good speed. I don't know why they still have Johnson at punt return. Maybe because he returned that one for a touchdown back against Arizona last year. I don't really know the reasoning behind that. But, yeah.
One time that the Steelers ever actually did anything on the punt return?
Exactly.
Let's just put Ryan Switzer out there just to get tackled at the one-yard line.
Wait for a fair catch every time the ball comes
touchback.
Antonio Brown was electric those couple years he was punt returning. The Colts game, the infamous Colts game, that field goal post was never the same.
Alrighty, so as we're moving on here, couldn't really say we could give out any points. I definitely would agree, however, that don't want to jump to too many conclusions. There was a lot of pretty big media covering the same story, saying that Chase Claypool was the real deal or he was not. A lot of polarizing issues on someone that really just had one really great breakout game. So he's definitely a young, up-and-coming star for the Steelers. Moving on, we had some interesting matchups later on in our debate with the NFL. Some topics might include what we're going to cover right now is that Kansas City got upset in a big way by Las Vegas, 32-40. The Raiders' offense just simply kept up with Pat Mahomes. Kansas City O-line could not protect Mahomes in any way. You know, one thing you always have to keep in mind for whenever you have these matchups between Las Vegas and Kansas City is there any kind of rivalry there between both teams? But the main topic of discussion here is where does Kansas City improve to regain the invincibility that was there in previous weeks? We talked a couple weeks ago about how no one or very few teams could even reach that tipping point and that excellence that Kansas City brought to the field. What kind of problem areas did you see from this Las Vegas games? And going forward, are there really any cracks there starting to form? And what could teams possibly exploit from the Kansas City Chiefs to possibly take some games away from them?
Honestly, that god-awful defense. And you got Tyrann Mathieu, and I think Chandler Jones, I think, is on their D-line. So you have pieces there. I'd feel like they could go out. They could draft defense a little better, personally speaking, but they're missing. I don't know his name. He's a doctor for Canada, and that's why he's not in the NFL. But one of their better offensive linemen is fighting COVID right now in a Canadian hospital, and I feel like that's an issue for them. But defense has been pretty suspect. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. You have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, the offense is there, and I saw a report that they're planning to offer Le'Veon Bell, like, the league minimum, so that he could be joining
really?
The Chiefs.
Wow. Alrighty. So is there any kind of problem areas? You definitely have a lot of optimism there, but do you see any kind of problem areas that you would see teams possibly exploiting over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I do, Ian. I do.
I mean, this is where you grab these debate points here.
Yeah, I gotta say.
So, it's all about pressuring Patrick Mahomes. When he doesn't have time, he's thrown under pressure. That's something Las Vegas did very well last week, was pressure that quarterback, and that's how Patrick Mahomes turned the ball over. Now, look, it's just one game. Kansas City's still a really good team, with a lot of talent on both sides of the field. So, it's just one of those games for Kansas City where they need to pick themselves back up this week and go out and get a win against Buffalo. But, you know, just for teams going up against Kansas City, I'm just saying, pressure Mahomes. 9 times out of 10, he's going to throw a ball under pressure. Maybe half the time he'll complete it, half the time he won't. But, you know, just pressure that quarterback. There was some stat, I forget what the stat was, but it was something about pressuring the quarterback. So just gotta get to the quarterback.
Yeah, Mahomes did throw just above 50%, which I have to agree with Ethan is due to the pressure of the quarterback. And if your QB's not making completions, he did throw for 340 yards, but if he's not making those completions, like, you're not going to win those games because those are downs you're losing.
The one thing I want to say about my argument, the offensive lineman is Laurent DuVernay-Tardif. He's the doctor. He's, I believe, the starting left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's in a hospital fighting COVID on the front lines.
All righty. Drew, do you have anything else that you saw this Sunday from the Chiefs game?
From what I just heard, I have to agree with Ethan here. When you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, your team like the Chiefs, you're not going to be running the ball as much as other teams. And if you just pressure Patrick Mahomes, give him pressure, your defense is good on your coverage, you can exploit the Chiefs on offense right there. And their defense isn't the greatest. So it was a little bit shocking, but not too shocking to see the Raiders just play a great game like that, a great fundamentally sound football game against the Chiefs. That's the formula to beat them.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. And finishing up this debate, especially we have a few more people participate, or I think it's just one more person. We all kind of said the same thing, but I think that definitely there could be some cracks starting to form with Kansas City. And so I might actually have to give this one to Ethan and Drew. It might be a little bit of a controversial, even though everyone was kind of saying the same things, but definitely something to look out for when it comes to future matchups. Moving on here, one thing that has been a particular spot of interest for people watching the National Football League this season. We can just breeze by this real quick. The 49ers got completely destroyed by Miami, 43-17. I'm not sure if anyone was expecting this kind of a blowout. San Francisco has been plagued by injuries. It's been a pretty big story all year, but especially, you know, with their easy schedule last year and making the Super Bowl, it's definitely not a great thing to see coming off of definitely a Super Bowl year. And it's definitely interesting to see from almost what you would see last year with the Miami Dolphins, thinking that they were specifically tanking. But the pretty big resurgence season, and they could even make the playoffs this year. And let's see what we can do. However, on the 49ers front, can San Francisco remain competitive throughout these injuries? Do they have any chance of making the playoffs, even if it's just a wild card? Or is it just kind of a fluke from last year? What
no.
do you guys think?
They're out. Jimmy G got benched. They're injury-ridden, but two of their top players came back, or some of their main important pieces to their offense, and they drew no offense whatsoever versus Miami. Jimmy G's back, Kittle's back, and Jimmy G got benched. And then the NFC West is just too tough of a division. You got Seahawks, Cardinals are decent, and then the Rams are a good team.
Yeah, I feel like there's almost no way at this point.
I'm still going to believe in the 49ers. Mostly Jimmy Garoppolo, although he did get benched, he was hurt. And his numbers, I mean, he's got a 67.3 completion percentage, and he has 4 touchdowns and no picks. If you do watch the game, I think it's Garoppolo's ankle that is hurting him. It's his throwing ankle, and he's not throwing off it. So that's why I think he's got benched. But I looked up their injury report. Quan Alexander was one of their best defensive players. He's not going to play. Emmanuel Mosley, DJ Jones. I think Deebo Samuel hasn't even played a snap yet, and he was one of their best receivers last year. So if you look at it, I don't trust the Rams. They're very light offensively, but I just don't know. I like Shanahan as a coach, and I like Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback, and I think they still got a shot.
As for me, look, you've lost Raheem Mostert for a couple of weeks. Nick Bosa's out for the season. You got a ton of injuries on both sides. Jimmy Garoppolo, also going down with injury, getting taken out of the game because of that ankle injury, like you said, Colby. Look, it's a tough road for the 49ers, and I do not think they're gonna be able to compete in the playoffs. I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs, even as a wildcard team. I mean, like Cam said, it's a very talented NFC West field. You got the Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks, and just looking at their schedule, you got a date with the Rams this week. Then you got the Patriots, Seahawks, Green Bay, New Orleans, and then you got a date with the Bills as well.
That's five straight losses.
It's gonna be hard.
Okay, look, it's a tough road. I just don't see them winning, going over 500 in those games. It's just way too tough of a schedule for them. And with the talent in that division, I don't think there's a way they can sneak in to the playoffs, even as a wildcard team.
Drew?
They have to play all those teams twice.
Yeah.
All those NFC West teams as well. And along with the teams that aren't even in their division. Like, yeah, you got a date with the Cowboys in December. But other than that, it's a tough road ahead for them.
If any coach can do it, I think Kyle Shanahan could.
I just like him as a coach. Look, he's blown basically two leads in the Super Bowl.
All right. If Garoppolo completes that pass, though, they're Super Bowl champs.
Drew, get some words in here. Drew, what do you think about the troubled team over in California?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough scene for people of San Francisco, 49ers fans. They're pretty much putting their D team out there right now, and it's really tough to see for a team that was in the Super Bowl last year. But I'm gonna stay optimistic about them. I'm not totally sold on the teams in the NFC. There are a couple teams that have been some disappointments. For example, the Vikings. Right now we have the Saints sitting at 2-2, same record as the 49ers. I know the Saints are probably the more talented team. And I know the NFC West is tough. But with the expanded playoffs this year, if the 49ers, and it's going to be very tough, but if they can just find a way to stay at 500 or just a bit above water, I like their chances to get into the playoffs. But it's going to be very tough for them.
Yeah, I like what you were saying, Drew. Then I think it'll be kind of tough for San Francisco to kind of make the playoffs, but kind of bringing data and definitely bringing up that Saints point is pretty crucial. So I think going into the break here, Drew will be taking up the 2-point lead, and especially with the amount of people that are participating in the debates here, it will be increasingly hard to get these debate points. However, after the break, we will be talking about the NHL crazy free agent frenzy and the NBA championship. So please, please stay with us here on Crunch Time. Welcome back to the Crunch Time Podcast, folks. Now we're going to be moving into all things NBA, but especially all things NHL. The free agent market has been buzzing this past week and has been insane. A lot of things to be taking into account, especially with a flat cap this year, and has been increasingly hard. Maybe not for Vegas. They just signed Alex Pietrangelo. You know, you have Taylor Hall going to Buffalo, Justin Schultz going to Washington. Are the Philadelphia Flyers a little bit too quiet? And Torrey Crew going to Blues. But let's start off with Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall went to Buffalo for some reason. I'm not really sure why. It just seems pretty strange to me, to be honest, as a team with especially someone like Jack Eichel is staying, you know, in the squad, has been just really resilient, and he has really blossomed into a great leader, almost similar to Sidney Crosby. He signed for 1 year for $8 million, and I'm sure he would have much, much rather to have a contract that was like 7x7 or even 7x8 or something like that. I feel like something with Taylor Hall, it definitely, if I was a GM, I would want to maybe possibly sign him for maybe only a two or three or four year deal, just to kind of have, you know, just to get his hunger out and just try to, you know, squeeze any kind of cup winning years. So especially, you know, Buffalo has been, you know, we even have some Buffalo fans here on campus. How do you think this move is going to impact Buffalo, and where do you see? Obviously Taylor Hall would slot in on that first line, but how are they going to fare? Are they going to be, you know, jumping up the Atlantic Division? We've seen the past couple of seasons that Buffalo has had amazing starts of the season, but then kind of trail off. Drew, do you want to go first and kind of talk about your opinions and see why or why not Buffalo would go to relevancy, and why certainly would they go back to relevancy, and what kind of piece would Taylor Hall bring?
Yeah, I'll kick it off, Ian. I'm going to be honest. From a Sabres point of view, I don't understand this move at all. This team, they're not ready to take that next step, in my opinion. The Atlantic is a very tough division. You just have the Stanley Cup champions and the Lightning. You have the Bruins. They're dealing with some stuff right now, though. It's the Maple Leafs. They're always a young, talented team. I just don't understand the move for the Sabres at all. And from Taylor Hall's perspective, he is always saying he wants to go play for a winning team, a team to compete for a cup. But he's played for the Oilers, the Coyotes, the Devils, and the Sabres. And I know, you just want to get your money and you want to get paid, but this move just doesn't really make sense to me at all. And I don't see Buffalo taking a huge step because of this. They need more help. They're a fundamentally flawed team, in my opinion.
So what kind of areas, you know, is Taylor Hall going to be kind of bogged down, or how do you really see him sliding into that in that lineup?
I think he'll definitely put up the numbers. You know, like you said, Buffalo, they typically have a very good start to the year. They get help by playing some weaker teams. They beat up on the Maple Leafs sometimes, but the Maple Leafs will get him back. You know, you got the Red Wings, the Panthers. I think he'll be a good scoring asset there, but to me, it's just not enough to really warrant that much of that big of a contract for just 1 year.
Exactly. All righty, let's see if we can send it over to Colby here. What do you think about this move?
I hate it. To be honest,
really,
I hate the move, and it's a desperate ploy to get Jack Eichel to stay, because let's be honest, Jack Eichel wants to get out of there. But I'm looking at their cap friendly. They have 8 unrestricted free agents next year. How are you going to pay Taylor Hall and then these 7 guys, or you're going to have to replace these 7 guys? I don't understand the move. It's a terrible move. It's a GM trying to save his job on a losing franchise that has been terrible for so many years. Colby, this is bad.
Colby.
What? You like
Colby.
The move?
Oh, I'm not saying I like the move, but, you know, the Sabres could be that little sneaky team. That sneaky team.
They got to beat
the underdogs. They got Taylor Hall, man.
If the Maple Leafs have taught us anything, scoring gets you nothing.
Look, yeah.
But do they have Rasmus Dahlin?
Okay, but some people may disagree with this move. I'm just here for the fun of it.
It will be fun.
Look, it's going to be fun for the Sabres because it's something. It's new, exciting. They got Taylor Hall, who's been a pretty good talent in the NHL for his years in the league. I feel like Bills could, not the Bills, the Sabres, the Sabres could potentially sneak in that 8 seed
in
the playoffs.
Is it worth it? To pay Taylor
now,
Hall
oh,
to
yeah,
get swept?
It.
Colby,
when's
Colby.
The last, when's, to get swept? When's the last time the Sabres have made the playoffs, though?
Who knows? They're terrible. They're just going to get swept.
Exactly.
If they make it.
Exactly. Give the fans some hope this year and then build off of that.
I don't want, if I'm a terrible
like Cam,
team, I
like
don't
Cam,
want hope.
Like Cam said last week, losing a playoff series is a learning experience.
I mean,
there's no
would
learning
you fault
experience
Columbus last
murdered.
Year? Would you fault Columbus? I mean, they bounced back just because John Tortorella literally is out there playing hockey.
Do they have John Tortorella as head coach here? Like
Colby,
the Sabres
Colby,
don't?
Colby, let me
like
say
Cameron?
Something.
Yeah,
let me say
Cameron,
something.
What do you think?
It's not bad.
It's not a bad move,
thank
but
you.
You
it's
got
not
no
bad.
Team.
Thank you're you. Signing a really good hockey player, and you have him for 1 year. If he's not the Taylor Hall you want, because he is on and off sometimes, like what he did last year in New Jersey wanted him out. So with that one-year deal, it's like you're paying that money for 1 year, and if it's what you want, sign him again. If it's not what you want, let him go.
It's
and then they made a good signing with Cody Eakin, and then they're putting a lot of veteran presence on their team to teach these young guys. They got Jeff Skinner, Eric Staal, Cody Eakin, all playoffs experience, and then you got Dylan Cousins coming in, and more draft picks.
We talk about this all the time with the Maple Leafs, who are in their own division. If you have offense but no defense, you're not going to win. You can score all the goals you want, but if you
okay,
can't outscore
team, I have a feeling about this team,
if
Mr.
you're not
Sherwin.
Winning, they'll definitely be a sneaky team.
They
like
could
Ethan
make
said.
The playoffs, but they're getting swept, and
exactly.
then Taylor Hall's gone.
And they're
exactly.
learning
that's
from
the
that.
They're learning from that. There you go. That's
swept,
a good move.
Gone.
That's a win, then. Did they
he's
make the,
gonna leave.
Did they make the playoffs last year?
He will leave.
No. What if
did
he, they had
what
Taylor
if he
Hall
sucked.
Last year?
What if he
no.
sucked?
If Taylor Hall's
why
gone,
would you
this
want a guy who sucked in the
so if you win... So if you think this is a good move and they if you think
I
this
don't.
Is a bad move if you think this is a bad move and they make the playoffs, it's a good move. It worked out.
And
for
what
them.
If he leaves and now you've got nothing?
So what? You
this
have
was
it for
a waste.
1 year. No, it's not.
It's a safe.
If he does, and they still make the playoffs, hell.
But what
I
if
would,
he's a rock star and he leaves?
Sign him again.
Yeah. They're a small market.
You'll sign him.
Small
find
market
way
doesn't
to,
matter.
They'll
in
find
the
a way.
NHL.
They'll find a way to manage that money.
Okay.
That was my point. The cap's not moving, and they have seven unrestricted.
Will it move next year?
They'll find
year?
A way to manage that money.
$13 million.
If they make the playoffs, they're going to be that sneaky team.
You can't afford
be that
Taylor
seed.
Hall.
Drew. Okay, Drew.
Oh,
what?
I'll just say this: if this somehow leads to the Sabres making the playoffs, the fans will be and should be thrilled. But as an organizational move, I just don't think this is very smart.
I mean, I'm sure the Pegulas were just like literally sitting in the GM's office making the calls for themselves. So I'm sure both sides really were hoping to have a little bit longer of a deal. And we're going to be moving on here. I think in terms of I think I'm going to have to give this one to this is kind of tough just because we have three v one here, and I wouldn't necessarily want to give it directly to all three, but I might have to give this one to Ethan, to be honest.
I mean, Ian, I thank you for that. I got excited about hockey for once,
which is pretty crazy.
This is crazy for me. Such I actually got move. In a heated debate in hockey. I'm
all
improving.
Right, well, let's move on here.
Good
we're gonna
you,
be
Ethan, good for you.
Already, guys. So let's just choose. We'll have the people choose. I'm gonna throw out a few topics here. We're gonna talk about one more. So would you guys rather talk about the enormous trade in free agency pickup from Alex Pietrangelo to Vegas? Would you want to talk about Justin Schultz to Washington? The Flyers have been pretty quiet in free agency so far. Or would you rather talk about Torrey Crews going down to the Blues?
We could.
What do you guys think?
I would love to talk about the Flyers.
It's a bad offseason.
You know, all right.
The Flyers offseason?
Yes, okay, it's
okay.
Bad.
Whoa, right. You are. Whoa.
All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to talk about the Flyers for a minute, talk about their offseason. Maybe a little bit of heated debate here, and then we'll quickly circle back around to Alex Pietrangelo. And then we'll have a little bit more of a heated debate when it comes to the NBA and LeBron James. So,
I just want to say real quick, Torrey Krug signing with the Blues made me very sad. as a Bruins fan. Very sad.
Yeah, Torrey Krug is at least for me, is someone that does not really like the Bruins. Torrey Krug was a fan favorite, not going to lie. Torrey Krug had the... I mean, he just had a certain way about
him. He had a nice
handshake
with Pasternak at center ice pregame. You know, that made the warm-up, but no, he's gone now. Sign with the enemy.
All righty. Guys, let's make this civil here. What is going on with the Flyers?
Guess what? I have something, and I'll let you guys handle all the fighting back and forth. Who cares? Nobody cares that the Flyers had a quiet offseason. They just played one of their better seasons in recent history. Yeah, sure, would you like to add a few pieces? But they're pretty content at where they're at right now. I don't really think they need to make some big moves. They have all the pieces in place. They're looking very good. They could make another cup run this year.
You
want to
go?
Well said. No, Colby, well, I want to hear what you have to say about my team that I root for.
All right. First off, this is very comparable to the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2015 to 2017. Now, hear me out. The Pirates were one of the best teams in the league, and they made no moves. Where are we now 3 years later? No World Series, never made a divisional round. Ethan, please, you can be upset, but
why,
I mean...
Why did you bring baseball
I'm getting it
this?
To my point! They're you two, just got
they're
upset!
They're two completely different leagues.
I'm getting to my point.
Let me just carry end on. Colby's career
I'm getting
right here.
To my point! Come on!
Go!
All right, first off, Carter Hart, young goalie. I'd like to see a veteran goaltender back there, just to give him some help. But you can be mad at me.
He played out of his mind.
That's Colby, what Colby, Colby, you shut up right now. You shut
You're
up
so
right now.
You're so biased for the Flyers, you can't see that this team got lucky.
What veteran goalie? What veteran goalie? Brian Elliott? Brian Elliott? Brian Elliott taught him. And
You're
then you have Carter Hart. You have Carter Hart. He was a good goalie.
I keep saying it's been 1 year.
He's played for two.
He had one good one. Claude was garbage.
No, he's not. Dude. Why would we need to rearrange our lineup and sign people that we don't need when our lineup is already set
you
from the past year?
To the Islanders!
It's seven! We're one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals!
You still lost! I don't care that you were close! You lost! That means nothing!
Okay, then next year, we improve. We learn from seven!
NLCS. I don't care! They did nothing!
Oh my gosh.
You did nothing!
All right. A veteran goalie for a goalie that's doing amazing in the league right now.
What happened?
He's 22! He's 22!
All right, we're just going to mute those guys for a minute.
Calm down, citizens. You guys are muted.
Maybe it was a bad decision to possibly bring up this kind of a debate. I feel like I cannot win. Have a winner here. I feel like, if anything, we'll just leave it. As it agree to disagree. That was a pretty heated debate. But that is okay. That's okay. Now we are going to be going into a little bit more analytical talk. Alex Pietrangelo to Vegas Golden Knights. They had no cap room. They had no cap room. They had zero cap room to spare. You know what they did? They signed a 7x8.8 with a full no movement clause. Alex Pietrangelo is 30 years old. What is out of, like... What's going on with Vegas? I have no idea. So I feel like Alex Pietrangelo, he was on the unrestricted free agent market. And also, can we just give a little bless up here to all of the Blues fans who didn't act like Islanders fans? Alex Pietrangelo was very important to the Blues franchise. He played all of his career there. You know what they're not doing now? They're not going, Snake, we don't need you.
He promised that he would stay.
But that's okay. I mean, it's always better less conflict than more conflict. Now, what is Alex Pietrangelo overhyped, and what is going on with the Vegas Golden Knights? Ethan, let's see if you can throw get some points here, because Cameron and Colby have 0 points, and Drew and Ethan only have two. Not too many points to go around here. What do you think?
So I'm going to do a little analogy here. I don't even know if that's the right term.
Okay. Is Alex Pietrangelo like the 2015 Pirates?
No, why would I bring up the Pirates in this situation? No, okay. Vegas is playing their cards right. Anyone? Vegas is playing their cards right. They're taking a gamble. Vegas, gamble, cards. Yeah, whatever. That did not work.
You just
that
don't
did not
care
work
about
out.
Hockey.
But
the
look,
slightest.
they're playing their cards. They're playing their hand right now. Hey, it might work out. They might win some money, meaning the cup. They're making moves. He's a veteran. He has experience. He's played very well in his career. So, yeah, Vegas is just trying for that cup.
Drew, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's just another good piece for the Golden Knights.
Is he overhyped?
I'm pretty high on that team right now.
You think he's overhyped?
No, I said it's a good piece to the Golden Knights. I don't think he's overhyped.
He's adequately hyped.
Sorry, what was that?
He is adequately hyped.
Yeah, I think he's appropriately hyped.
Cameron, I know you wanted to put something in here.
He is a good defenseman. He helped bring a cup to the Blues just 2 years ago, or a year ago, and now the Knights signed him, and that's going to add veteran presence. And I know Colby doesn't like this word, but the Knights went to the conference finals and learned. They went to the finals and learned.
When you go to the conference,
they're going to get there. And adding more veteran defensemen and better players, yeah, it will screw them later in the years, but he's a good player.
I'm kind of mixed on this move because in the short term, meaning this year and next year, it adds nice presence. But once you hit the 2023 to the 2024 and on, that's when you start to see issues here. Because if you look at Pietrangelo's stats, he's been decent these last couple of years.
I'll pull an Ethan here. They're going all in.
They may be going all in, but this guy can't. He hasn't played 82 games at all. Like, the closest he's been was 2017 when he hit 80 games. Like, the cup year, he hit 71 games.
Alrighty, let's just hold on here real quick. What do you guys think, really quickly when it comes to, like, Vegas is not doing too well with their cap space. So Drew, we all get it. Alex Pietrangelo brings a lot of veteran presence to a team that desperately would like the Stanley Cup as any team. What are they going to do with the cap space? How is this move going to hurt them, or is it really just generally a good move?
I think for right now, I mean, I know he signed for a 7-year. I think it's a good short-term move. As far as long-term, though, they're going to be hurting, like you said, in the cap department.
Do you see them trading Pietrangelo?
Down the road, yes. The Golden Knights are in win-now mode. For me, they're one of the front runners in the NHL. They experienced their first taste of playoff failure this year because you had legitimate excuses the years before. You know, your first year as an expansion team, you lost in the Stanley Cup final. You could blame the refs last year. This year, they failed for the first time. So the Knights are in win now mode, I'd say, and this is a good guy to pick up to help you get to that Stanley Cup, your first ever Stanley Cup for the franchise. But down the road, they might run into some problems.
I'm totally oblivious to how NHL contracts are structured, but is this deal like a pretty sizable deal, like a pretty long.
Yeah, it's long and it's also very expensive.
Anyone else
want to add anything?
So, yeah, I have to disagree with Drew here. I don't really think they're going to trade Pietrangelo away after giving him 7 years and, what, $8.8 million, almost close to that.
Yep, and it's actually pretty interesting. Million. And one pretty actually important thing to add is Pietrangelo's cap structure is very signing bonus heavy. And that $8.8 million doesn't actually kick in until the seventh year. There's, I think for the first couple of years, it's something more like $4.4 million, which is a little bit better of a cap hit. And then you have a lot of those signing bonuses capped on the side. So that's just important to know as we're going around here.
He's got that no movement, too.
He does.
Do like the pairing up for this year and next year. The pairing of Alex Pietrangelo and Shea Theodore is a good pairing for the Golden Knights. But I just don't see the purpose of signing a defenseman until he's 38. Like, he might not even see the end of the deal. I like Alex Pietrangelo, but a 2-year deal to me would have been better than 8 years. But I just can't get behind 8 years for $8 million for a defenseman.
Well, Pietrangelo wanted his money.
He did want his money.
And he wants to know where he's going to retire, probably.
He's probably going to retire here or get traded or waived because there's no way I just hate it's a bad contract.
Alrighty. I'm gonna probably give this one to Colby. Actually, Just trying to, you know, mix it up a little bit. It's definitely a contract that might be a little bit costly down the line, but that is definitely okay. So that is gonna finish up everything with our free agency. Just another quick thing to note: Justin Schultz did go to Washington, 2 years for $8 million.
Traitor.
It was definitely, it'll be different to see, you know, that there's Hagelin and Schultz on that team. And now Henrik Lundqvist will also be signing with that team to pick up the UFA from the Rangers. Now moving on here to basketball. Basketball is played with a ball that is orange on a court, just in case anyone was wondering. The Lakers.
Invented in Canada.
The Ooh. Lakers won their 17th NBA championship on Sunday. That is October the 11th. And unfortunately to Colby from our last podcast, the Heat did not come back, and that is quite unfortunate. They did take the series in six games. LeBron had a comment after the game talking about respect. Guys, what do you think?
Well, let me pause you right there. Yeah, and just say something.
Can we get to the real meat of this?
No. Let me just say something. I was right last week. I said the Heat would probably win two games at most. They won those two games.
I was just being positive.
Colby gets it. Yeah, that's exactly why I chose him to win that debate. I specifically remember. Oh, you know, we'll go with Colby. You know, he's bringing a lot of positivity to the table. Don't know too much about basketball. That's okay.
All right. So, what is the meat of the potatoes?
Can we get the meat of this story here?
Let's go.
It is the LeBron and MJ debate. It is now.
Let's go.
The flame has now. I can't. The
Calgary Flames.
It looks like California right now.
The flame. There has been a new flame that has been lit under this story once again. It is the LeBron and MJ debate. So yeah, I guess Ian, do you want to ask?
Yeah. I mean, so who is it? Who's MJ or LeBron?
I'm going to let these two go first because I have something completely different. So you two go first.
Michael Jordan, period. There ain't no question about it. Six times to the finals, six championships. All those records he broke, yada, yada, yada. Jordan played in a much harder era than right now.
Are you? No. I will not let this slander continue. LeBron James came back from 3-1 against the greatest team of all time.
Jordan's team was the best team.
You're wrong. Record-wise, it was the Warriors, so that's not true.
Second, they tied.
The only reason he
and Jordan won, so he's the best team.
Because Kevin Durant is the biggest
snake. He's the best team.
These two fools. LeBron James has 34,241 points. That's like second of all time. I'm not going to stand for this. And for your point about freaking 6-0 in the finals. What about all the times LeBron or MJ couldn't get past the Pistons? He never got past them until we had Pippen and Harden.
LeBron just had a cakewalk.
Can I?
Cakewalk? Yeah, what are you talking about?
We're gonna move over to Ethan real quick and then see if Drew has anything to go off. So Ethan, what do you have something? You said even before we started talking about this topic, you had something a little bit different to bring to the table.
Correct, Sir Ian. So, Sir Ian, can
is
I
it Nick Hederick of RMU TV? Is that
it,
the greatest
it is
of all time?
Involved with Nick Hederick. Can I plug something, please?
Absolutely, you can plug anything.
If you don't know, there is another podcast called the Stranded Sports Podcast. You should definitely check it out. We had two interviews this week, so yeah, check that out on Apple. Any podcast, just search up the Stranded Sports Podcast. Other than that, there was a topic last night that was discussed on today's podcast. It just got posted a couple hours ago. It was the same debate, and I took something out of this debate that I didn't really think of before, but now I kind of really understand this is really good. But look, these two guys have two completely different careers. If you already know, Jordan played for a string of years. Then in like his 30s, he quit, decided to play minor league baseball in the Chicago White Sox system. And then he came back, retired, then finished his comeback career, or his comeback, here's his farewell tour with the Wizards.
Yeah.
Correct. Can you please tell me what LeBron did? Did he stop mid-career?
Oh, for the
luck of God. So instead, I'm kind of taking this verbatim from what the podcast was, but
look, you can't judge who's the greatest of all time in basketball, because these are two differently styles of play from back in the 90s when Jordan, Pippen, all those guys were balling out, and today's game. They're two completely different styles of the game.
So who's your greatest of all time?
That's greatest, the argument. Greatest era.
Oh.
Greatest player of an era of all time. Look, LeBron.
That's not fun, though.
It's the logical
this
response.
Is a debate.
You're making this debate like this LeBron makes basketball boring.
No, it's
LeBron
not.
Does not make
LeBron,
basketball
LeBron.
Yes, he does. Four
how?
Straight years of the
Look,
same
that's
teams
great.
In the finals.
Look, that means
is
he's
that
the greatest
boring.
Of this era.
When
Jordan,
Tom Brady does it,
Jordan?
Nobody bats an eye. But because LeBron
yes,
James
we
does
do.
It,
yes,
this team,
we do.
It's boring now?
Dude, he controls the NBA.
Who
it's
cares?
Who cares?
It's fun. It's
no, it's not. I don't want to watch the same guy.
It's
turn
no,
it's going to be LeBron.
Okay.
Because he has so much power.
Drew, what are you thinking here when it comes to this debate topic? I know you're more of a not that big of a baseball guy, but what do you think here?
Yeah, this is a tough one for me. But everybody talks about the lack of parity in the NBA right now, which is true. Everybody talks about, oh, these teams, they're all made up of LeBron and ring chasers. I know the Lakers had Anthony Davis this year. But it's the conversation is always LeBron and ring chasers. LeBron's always put forth there. I'd say he's the one out there getting it done. For me, as much as I don't like him, and as much as the lack of parity in the NBA really bothers me, I think I'm going to have to go with LeBron James here.
All righty. Okay. So we're just going to circle back right to Cameron here, and then we're going to finish up this
hear me out.
Topic.
Oh God. LeBron breaks all of these scoring records because the defense in this day and age of basketball is absolute garbage.
All righty. So
give you a technical foul if you played zone.
Did you see what they did to each
other? We're
going to
finish this up.
That's fair, Cam. That's fair.
I do really, really like what Ethan was saying, especially one thing I would have to say, if you're going to choose one podcast to listen to, I think Crunch Time definitely would be the more quality. I'm probably going to give this one to Cameron and Drew, to be honest. Definitely another contentious debate. However, we will be right back. We're going to be entering our lightning and final rounds. And we are going to be talking about Major League Baseball. Certainly a lot of things coming up here in just a minute. Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the Crunch Time Podcast. Thank you so much for your patience. We are ready to go and talk about the Major League Baseball here. We are going to be, after that, we're going to be going straight into the lightning round. We have definitely lots of things to talk about here. So, first thing, one simple question. What is Trevor Bauer doing? He has been constantly on Twitter. Is he only going to be signing one-year contracts? Is he going to be just content with that for his entire career? Is he good at playing baseball? And what do you guys think what will happen if, you know, which team should sign him? And what do you guys think? We'll start it off with our the guest goes first. Yes. Drew, do you want to – it's the play thing to do. Do you want to go first?
Absolutely. So you want to talk about what team Trevor Bauer is going to sign with?
Yeah, and what's your general thoughts about him?
Trevor Bauer is an interesting guy. I think he's a really good pitcher. He loves to poke the bear with the MLB and on Twitter with his vlogs and stuff. Personally, I love it. His tweets to different teams get a little annoying, but I think the Yankees should sign him. That's me being optimistically cautious here, because I know the Yankees are going to have problems with their finances this year because of COVID and the Steinbrenners. The Yankees are their bread and butter. They lost money, but one can hope. The Yankees always need starting pitching. Garrett Cole couldn't carry them to a series win this year.
Alrighty. Let's see if we can send this over to Ethan, then Colby.
All right. Thoughts on Trevor Bauer? He's a funny guy. He's a funny guy. He's doing a lot for the game of baseball that Manfred just does not appreciate. His vlogs inside the COVID season, I think that was a really... I watched all of them, personally. I watched all of them. Very exciting. Very entertaining. Just something that you don't see every day. And I think more players need to do this. Because the way the animal... We'll get into this later. But the MLB doesn't really have much in terms of seeing inside the locker room or seeing what players do outside the game, like the NBA. Some NBA players and some NFL players do with their YouTubes and all of that. But... For this entire situation in free agency with Bauer, he's just tweeting at like every city and trolling every fan base basically. But here's what I think. He came out, Barstool came out with an article saying that the beef between Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer, what they had at UCLA, will never make up about this. Trevor Bauer came back saying the complete opposite, they're over it. So, I personally think he's going to be going to New York. And no, Ian, he will not be signing one-year contracts because his contract was just up after this year. So, this is his first time in free agency. New York's a great fit for him. I'd also wouldn't be surprised if we went to the Angels. But just New York with that punch with Garrett Cole, Hermann's coming back after a suspension, and Bauer, that's your top three guys right there.
Alrighty, Colby, go right ahead.
So, first off, I personally love what Trevor Bauer is doing for the game. As Ethan was saying, his social media is hilarious. YouTube's pretty funny. His Astros beef was amazing. He's one of the better pitchers in the free agent market, I would say. I don't know if he will sign 1 year deals. I could see him doing 3 years instead of the long term because that's just how Trevor Bauer is. But there are two teams I thought he'd fit pretty well with. One is the Padres, because I think him and Mike Clevinger would be a really good 1-2 punch. And this one, I just personally think it'd be pretty cool to see him on the Rangers. I have no other reason. They're a terrible team. I just think he'd be cool on the Rangers.
He wants to win, Colby. He wants to win. I really don't see him going to a team that doesn't want to compete, so I throw the Rangers completely out the window.
I think the Padres...
I mean, I agree with the Padres getting back with Clev. Those two have a pretty close relationship with one another. I could see that, but I just really think he's going to go to that big market in
I don't think he likes the Yankees, though, so I don't know if he'll go there because he lost to them so many times.
I don't know.
He's made fun of Kevin Durant before for being a can't-beat-him-join-him, so I don't know if he'll do it himself.
I don't know.
Alrighty. Cameron, what do you have to add?
I'm going one team in each side.
If it's the Phillies, I swear.
No, it's not. I'm going to have to go with with Colby's answer with El Padres. Down in California, it's Cali. It's a nice area. They're a very young and talented team.
They're on the rise.
Yes, they made it to the second round. And then for the AL,
oh boy,
a special team.
Oh no.
He's going to head north of the border.
To the Blue Jays.
I like that.
That's a good move, but I don't know if they have the amount of cap to do it.
He's going to have a whole...
My bad.
He's going to have a whole country rooting for him.
There is no cap. Money to do it.
Alrighty, so...
They have a lot of young guys that they're not paying a lot right now, so that move could make sense for the Blue Jays.
I don't like
Hing
Jong Ryun's contract.
I'm going to have to give this one to actually Cameron. I like the Blue Jays pick. And now we are going to be... Oh, actually, never mind. Whoa, sorry, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. So, things interesting happen with the MLB. You would see baseball games have been getting longer and longer, and especially with the general public, you could even almost go as far to say that it is almost falling out of favor with the general public in some ways in terms of the TV ratings. However, with these expanded playoffs and... with MLB's handling of the coronavirus pandemic, I'm looking at the wrong topic here. But one thing that is actually an interesting of note, the Major League Baseball has gone 40 days without a positive test, which has been pretty awesome to see, especially after they had a pretty horrendous start. Anyway, the MLB TV ratings adjusted have been much, much higher than they were in previous years. Obviously, you know, you're going to have less things to watch, a lot more of a diverse and different TV landscape these days. But when the numbers are adjusted for, you know, fans being, you know, present in the stands, there are higher TV ratings for Major League Baseball. Are we seeing baseball back on the rise? Why or why not? Just a quick reminder, especially the lightning round is going to be a big portion to make up points here. But we have Drew with 3, Cameron and Ethan with 2, and just Colby with 1. We're definitely going to be wanting to pull up with some points here. Would anyone like to go first? Ethan immediately raised his hand. What is going on with Major League Baseball?
Look, it's great. It's great. They've tried some things to work out with pace of play. Has not worked, like the 3-batter minimum. I thought I wouldn't like the rule, but hey, it's whatever. It hasn't really affected me watching the game. As far as ratings go, I'm pretty surprised that the ratings have been much higher than they usually are. A lot still needs to be changed. I think if they can get rid of these blackouts that we see every time we watch a baseball game that we want to watch, it seems like every time a team that we want to tune into is blacked out. I think they need to do a lot better job with that. So is it dying off? A lot of people would say yes, but if they can, with the TV ratings being much higher this year, if they can ride that momentum and start doing stuff like what I said, interacting with the players more, players' social media, all of that will pertain into TV ratings and make this game grow as a whole, because we want that younger generation. For years, we've been saying that it's the national pastime, it's the older generation. So, yeah, grow the game. Get the younger generation involved, and you'll see those TV ratings go even higher.
All right, let's get this topic done through. Let's keep going. Cameron, do you have anything to add to this topic?
Well, I think baseball right now is going not bad, but it's not good. It's a very slow game. People don't really care until the postseason. Like me personally, I don't watch any of the Philly games unless I'm trying to take a nap until the postseason, which they won't be there. And then... you have other sports, like basketball is on the rise, and because it's easier to play, you don't need as many guys. You can just 1v1 or shoot by yourself. Hockey and football are high-contact physical sports that people want to watch. Baseball is like slow, strategic, very knowledgeable game, but...
I just don't agree with that. If you're not a baseball fan, then you're not going to watch. It's been like this forever.
Here's the problem with that, Colby, and I get where you're coming from. But if you have people that are not going to watch the game, if you're not a baseball fan, that's not what the MLB is trying to do. They want to
grow
the fan.
I get that, but stop tinkering with the game so much. That's why they're in this spot.
I get
I just have baseball.
Okay,
baseball.
Okay, hear me out. you have bases loaded at the top and bottom of the ninth. Spice it up a little bit. Starting every inning, you have bases loaded.
Listen, I'm a Pirates fan. I'm going to watch as many games as I can. I'm just here for baseball. I like it the way it is. The only rule I want to see is DH in the NL because I do not pay money to see Chad Cole hit.
But, like, honestly, on a real note that actually pertains to the topic, they just need to start to grow the game more with the younger generation.
I agree.
Be more involved with player and fan interaction, I see highlights of NFL games, NBA games.
There's
on
some
YouTube.
Weird thing where the MLB owns its content and it's hard to make MLB videos on YouTube.
They need to get rid of that.
If you're not a baseball fan and you honestly see Mike Trout walk into a room, the greatest baseball player of all time, can you honestly tell me you know what he looks like?
And exactly why? See, these West Coast
they don't
games,
market.
Yes, the West Coast teams are not marketed.
I can't
whatsoever.
Watch an Angels game because they start at 10:30. I don't want to watch the game at 10:30 at night.
Or it's blacked out.
That's about every West Coast team.
You can start it at 8:30. The NBA starts all their games at 8:30.
No.
That's why we watch LeBron all the time on the Lakers.
But seriously, they don't market their players
at all
whatsoever.
It's
and that's
terrible
and that's
marketing.
Can I speak
on that?
Yes.
Because I think pertaining to this season, I think all three of you are missing the point here. The big point. The two things that really I think drove up the MLB ratings this year. Number one, expanded postseason.
That does.
That
help.
Brings more fans. There more.
More games that matter.
Audience.
More games that matter.
More games. Yeah.
It was a 60-game sprint.
Padres
the whole
fans,
season
do you
mattered.
Think they're watching the playoffs normally? Yeah, they're good this year. Marlins fans, do you think they're really into the playoffs a lot other than this year? Number two. It comes down to the divisional series for me, and it was rivalries. You had the Rays and Yankees who had beef this year. You had the Astros and A's who had beef this year. The Dodgers and Padres, they're forming a little bit of a rivalry. And then there's the Braves and Marlins. You know, they're kind of a lesser, but they have their rivalry down south.
I think the hatred for the Astros
drove the ratings this year.
So how are they going to continue this?
You got to keep expanding the playoffs.
Because the reports are saying... hold your horses, fans. If you like expanded playoffs, they're not going to be around for very long.
Well, they should. That makes no sense.
So
more games that matter.
Rob Manfred
more playoff
so
games.
Many
it's
things.
All people want.
Exactly.
If the MLB was smart, they would expand the postseason.
Well, that's the thing, Drew. The MLB
is
smart.
I honestly don't think your point with rivalries really works. That's the only teams that they played this year. I honestly, as a fan of the game, would have liked to see AL East go against up. Go
AL
up against
West.
An AL West or an AL yeah. Central team. Well, the AL Central was out anyway, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I would rather see that mix. I would rather see a mix of teams instead of watching the same divisions go after each other in the playoffs. Any normal year.
Do you know how many people? How many people were tuning in to the ALDS for the sole purpose of saying, "Let's go, Yankees, Astros. We want that rematch." Here we go. Let's go. And the
How many
people
okay,
are doing
Mr.
watching
Yankee
for
that.
That's
yeah,
going to wrap
just
up
just
here.
A Yankees bias right
Which
there.
Yeah, Yankees bias is coming here. Out here.
All right. As we kind of wrap up here, I really honestly like what Drew and Cameron had to say about these playoffs here. And going in, we had Drew with 4, Ethan with 2, Cameron with 3, and Colby with 1. And that means we are going to be heading into the lightning rounds. So, these lightning rounds, you only have about 10 seconds each. You really need to get your topic across as soon as you possibly can, or you will be cut off. Your microphone will be muted. You will not be able to say your point any longer. These points are crucial. Not many points have been given out. And so what we'll do is we'll start, we'll be just going through these lightning round questions. And you got to keep it rolling here. Starting off with hockey in the lightning round, we're going to start over with Drew on this area. What area of the Penguins roster will get them into the playoffs, or what area will make them miss the playoffs? Go ahead, Drew.
I'll make it short. Their top forwards will get them into their playoffs. Their goaltending will make them miss the playoffs.
All righty.
Not a legit number one starter.
All right, Colby, go ahead.
Their defense is plain and simple, not good. Chris Letang, Mike Matheson, not good. John Marino and Brian Dumoulin are all right. Their offense is what's going to carry them, but I think they'll be the eighth seed. Personally speaking, they'll sneak in and get swept.
Go ahead, Cameron.
I'm going to say they're going to be bottom three Metro. No. Their defense is bad. I never liked Jari, even though I know,
I'm a Flyer fan, Colby.
But Jari just never was a goalie for me that I liked.
Alrighty, Ethan, you have anything to say here?
Why are we still talking about hockey, and why are we talking about the playoffs already? Defense will keep the Penguins out of the playoffs.
Alrighty, Drew, I'm sorry. You quickly repeat what you said. Wait.
Yeah, sure. I said the offense, the top forwards will get them into the playoffs. Their goaltending will make them miss the playoffs. Tristan Jarry is not a legit one starter.
He said.
All right, I'm going to give this one to. It's a little split, but I feel like Ethan is going to have to get the point on this one, unfortunately. And just kind of moving right along here. Alrighty. Which NL team is in the most trouble when it comes to cap space? We talked about the Alex Pietrangelo deal. Who is in the most trouble with cap space? Anyone want to go first?
I'll take the literal Golden Knights. I checked the cap friendly, have $0. So the Golden Knights are in a lot of trouble.
Absolutely $0.
I hate the Pietrangelo contract.
Drew, you have anything for us?
Not really much here. Like I mentioned earlier, the Knights, a little bit of trouble there, possibly down the road.
Alrighty. Anyone else want to add to the conversation here? And it was a tough one, a very, very specific question here. A lot of teams with the flat cap struggling to try to get past that.
I think the Penguins are also in trouble, but that's just because they have a bad GM.
They do indeed. They do indeed.
The Knights are set for this year, but next future, they're toast.
Colby, don't beat up my friend JR. Come on.
He's
now.
Awful.
He's not that
bad.
JR's
not that bad.
I would put the Leaves in there, too.
Ethan, do you have anything to add?
I have no idea what's going on.
what was your last point there, Drew?
I said I'll throw the Coyotes into the mix.
The Coyotes. That honestly, I'm gonna. You know, I really like Colby's.
Ethan, why not me? Because you don't know.
Ethan,
hockey.
You know, I think that you put in a valiant effort here, but definitely with Colby trying to always get the folks in the Maple Leafs is always is what's going on. Now moving over to the NFL. The Cowboys had a absolutely devastating loss over the weekend, and
they won. Yeah,
they beat the Giants on the last second field.
A loss in a different way.
Oh,
fair play. Fair
Where
play.
Do the Cowboys go without Dak Prescott? It is not a sprain. It is not a sprain, Tony Romo. Where do they go
cramp.
From here?
They are fine.
They are fine. They have the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton. They did a nice job signing him to a deal in the offseason as a backup. So I think they're still in a. They're not in a good of a spot as they would have been with Dak, but they still have a pretty capable quarterback in Andy Dalton.
Dak Prescott, him out, it makes it the Eagles' division to lose.
I don't know about that, but quarterback-wise, they're fine. I like Andy Dalton. Got to get anybody defensively. I check trade blocks or Terrell Suggs is a free agent. I'd like more pressure on the quarterback.
Drew, what do you think?
Personally, I think it's definitely a big loss, but they'll be fine as far as their standing in the division. I think the Eagles and Cowboys are just going to play hot potato with the NFC East
Such
all year.
A bad
no, you have it. No, you have it.
Alrighty. Now, unfortunately, not really going to be able to add too many points on this one. Alrighty, moving on to some of our other ones. We saw that many games got rescheduled, and the Titans had a complete blowout of the Bills with so much time to prepare. We saw that the NHL bubble was some of the best. The basketball, you even saw, kind of picked it up a little bit in terms of at least food. You know, food was really terrible. a lot of bad comments coming with the food, and saw the environment kind of picked up a little bit.
Where is this going?
And now you see that the Major League Baseball has had very few cases and zero cases actually, over the past 40 days. If you're the NFL and you had to do this all over again from the beginning, what are you going to do differently? This is absolutely outrageous that they could have, like, how are they supposed to, they could have bounced back. They still can bounce back. What are they going
to
do?
It's very simple. Go to a bubble. There was no reason not to go to a bubble.
No.
There's okay. Plenty of cities that have two stadiums. You could have done New York. You could have done Los Angeles. You just needed a bubble. There was a bubble in Florida for two leagues, and they did fine.
All right, that's your time. Lightning round.
Challenge flag, please. No. Challenge flag. Okay, look. The MLB had a tough start to the season with the positive cases in the Miami Marlins and Cardinals. But look, if the NFL had a plan in place to start the season, they wouldn't
they
be in this predicament. No, they had. They didn't have a plan. No,
they had
didn't.
No plan.
They didn't have a. They didn't have a plan.
Okay,
so exactly.
Before I go with there, it's not a debate about what would the what is the NFL going to be able to do going forward?
Oh, just have a better plan in place. They did not have a plan to start off the season.
Any specifics of what that plan might be?
A bubble.
Not a bubble.
Not a bubble.
Just have better protocols, because the protocols that they had before definitely did not work. If they had protocols more like the MLB. They wouldn't be in this situation.
And strictly say the punishment, because if
the
Titans,
if Titans knew
they would have gotten punished, that then
Drew, what do you think here?
You got
Drew.
Get a point for that.
Personally, give Cam a shot, because he had like what 2 seconds there.
Yeah, Cam does need a shot here.
I was just because
he was about to go on to something very spicy.
Drew, go ahead. Drew, are you still there? We'll have to connect back with Drew in a minute here. However, from what we've seen here, definitely Cameron is very deserving of these two points.
He didn't even speak.
I knew that.
At least give him a chance to speak. He didn't even decide. You gave
Cameron
him, like,
came out here.
Oh,
with,
punishment. He had one word, punishment. You didn't even let him speak, and you still gave him a win.
Is,
that's
guys,
crazy.
I got myself muted there.
Oh, there he is. He's back. Let Drew decide. Because Ian already decided a winner.
I mean, okay, since think about it. If Colby comes out here and says bubble, that seems a little bit too extreme.
What?
And just saying procedures, Cameron came out here specifically with a complete plan to explicitly say and to make example of teams that did not follow the rules, including the Tennessee
he
Titans.
The
Tennessee
Titans
did not.
If the Titans had punishments, they wouldn't have done it. That's all
I'm with
said.
Cameron here.
Look, honestly,
if they knew there was punishments, I would.
That's the okay.
If I'm going to get arrested for murdering someone, I wouldn't murder someone.
I hope that's not the only reason you wouldn't murder somebody.
It's an extreme.
I'm just saying.
Example.
Okay, so Cameron did really kind of win the debate there. Moving around.
A word. He got a word in. Just one word.
Oh, we're going to keep going here.
Scott for time.
Is there anything wrong with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yes.
What is wrong? Is Tom Brady just gone? Is he retired? Drew, do you want to start us off?
I think they're just in a little bit of a slump right now. I think they'll be fine. Tough matchup next week against my Green Bay Packers, so we'll see how that one goes. But
already,
overall, I think they're fine.
Ethan, take it away.
They're fine. They got a tough road ahead, but they are fine. They'll do fine.
Think they'll make the playoffs?
Yeah, they have Tom Brady.
Drew, will they make the playoffs?
Absolutely.
All right, Cameron, what do you think?
Buccaneers are fine.
Colby?
Honestly, they'll be fine. I think they'll be the lowest seed in the playoffs. Bruce Arians' offense typically is hard for new quarterbacks. You'll see that. And Tom Brady is 43 years old, and he's lost a bit of arm strength. So I think that's the main issue, but
nice.
They're not healthy.
Alrighty. Anyone else, Dad, before we decide this one?
No.
Alrighty, Cole Beans. That's going to be going to Colby, adding with the most support and the just kind of putting things out there. Now going into our last three topics here. We have Cameron and Colby with 5 and Ethan and Drew with 4. It is a completely close race here. Can there be... I'm guessing the answer is going to be no, so definitely the differentiator here will be any kind of comparisons or stats. But can there be any expectations of the Falcons this season? I mean, they have a really nice stadium. Can you say anything about them? I mean, what is there to say about the Atlanta Falcons? They blew
2
so many leads. What do you guys think?
Blown leads is the story of their season. They fired Dan Quinn. Other than that, there's nothing much going for them. They're the Falcons.
Yeah, there's not much else they can do. Just rebuild. They fired their coach. That I would say get rid of Matt Ryan and
whoa.
Yeah, get rid of Matt Ryan. You don't need that QB anymore. He's good, but, like, you can get so much stuff out of him to make you a better team.
I will say,
if you're in a rebuild, don't waste that man's prime. Send him off somewhere else and get... Well, if he's not in his prime, why don't you want to get rid of him?
Because he's a good quarterback.
So get rid of him and get your picks to rebuild.
I'll say that they don't have to rebuild. They need to retool. I'd like to see more draft picks defensively speaking, and I'd like to see them hire Eric Bieniemy as their head coach because he's a really good offensive mind.
All right, Drew, what do you have to say here?
Yeah, nothing much they can really do this season. When you start your season out like that, it's a real kick in the pants. So he's going to have to go out, play competitive ball, and fix the issues that they need to in the offseason. Really not much you can do for them right now.
Alrighty, I definitely have to agree with all of that. And I think I'm going to probably just kind of abstain from this one. And let's move into our last lightning round question. The scores remain. Drew, Ethan at 4, Colby and Cameron at 5. What is going on with Kareem Hunt? Ethan, start us off.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt today said that his team will have Myles Garrett's back. I don't know what's going on with him. That's a terrible statement by him and the Browns, because how can you defend that guy after what happened last year?
All right, so what do you think is going to happen here with the Browns and the Steelers? Definitely want to bring a lot to the table here for the last debate.
Absolutely nothing. They will do absolutely nothing. The Steelers, they will be smart about this. They will not bring any of that. They'll still bring bad blood, but it won't be because of the helmet incident. It will just because it will be because it's the oldest rivalry in football.
Has it been 10 seconds?
I believe that the incident last year was a mistake. I feel like Myles Garrett heard something. It wasn't what he thought it was. Thought it was the one thing. And if somebody did say that, he has every right to bash that man's head in. And, like, I don't think they'll care about it this week.
Honestly, I'd watch out for Myles Garrett. You never know. Apparently, he has anger issues now. But on the Steelers' side, the only person I am concerned with is Terrell Edmonds. I could see him doing something. I also just really hate Terrell Edmonds.
Alrighty, Drew, go for it.
Yeah, for the Steelers and Browns, you absolutely cannot do anything to jeopardize your team. You can't do something stupid. Both these teams are playing very well right now. And if they want to continue to play that way, you can't have guys being suspended. You have to let bygones be bygones.
Alrighty. So, coming up after the break, we will decide who won that last lightning round and who will be moving on to the final debate. And we will be revealing who will be our final debate topic. And so we will see you back here in just a bit. Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the Crunch Time Podcast. We have we couldn't really pick a winner, to be honest, from last debate. So we are going to be just going with the two leaders, Cameron and Colby. Woo! And we are going straight into the final debate, which is, if the Flyers and the Penguins meet in the first game of the season, home opener for the Penguins, we have seen that the Penguins have started to try to bolster their lineup a little bit with a lot of bottom six defensive forwards. Cameron has said on multiple occasions that the Flyers don't need any kind of they don't need any kind of bolstering since they have the goaltending, they have the defense. So let's just break this down. 2 minutes each. 2 minutes each. Just go really quickly here with that 2 minutes. How does that first game pan out?
You can go first if you'd like.
Flyers win. Flyers in Pittsburgh have always been good. And then
score, please.
Just
score, please.
Yeah, just break it down. Who's the main stars of the game? How do you feel about
this? I'm going 4-1 Flyers with an empty netter at the end. We're going to get a goal from Kevin Hayes. You're going to get a goal from Couturier. And then maybe Provorov or someone on the power play definitely gets one. And then Carter Hart just balls out and chucks.
Who scores
down
for the Penguins?
I don't know. They have nobody.
Alrighty.
Probably one of their first liners, but after that, it's all defense-minded.
Alrighty. Cameron, do you have anything else to add to your point here? You still have a little bit more time.
You know what? I'm just going to rub it in. 4-0.
Rub it in? 4-0.
4-0. Carter Hart starts the season with the shutout over the Pittsburgh Penguins, if that hypothetically were to pan out.
Well, so for devil's advocate, and just because I like to get on your nerves sometimes, I'll take the Penguins in a
it's so surprising.
In a 1-0 game that goes into overtime. And I will take the goal by the former Maple Leaf, Kasperi Kapanen. Now, I hate the Penguins' defense, but I do like...
If you hate the Penguins' defense, how are they shutting down them for 60 minutes?
I did not interrupt you. Please be quiet. Thank you.
I mean, that is a fair point by Cameron, though.
I was getting to the point.
Yeah, no,
I was going to say that anyway.
Just keep going.
I don't like the top line of the Penguins' defense, but other than that, it's pretty good. I think...
Look, it's better with the second or third line.
Stop. John Marino is a legit defenseman. He's going to be a star in this league. I like John Marino. Brian Dumoulin's okay. Now, offensively, if line one is Crosby, Gensel, and Kapanen, I like that. Or you could put Zucker. I do like Tristan Jarry in net.
Who are the main stars of this game?
I will take Crosby with his passing. He's going to set up Kapanen for a one-timer over the glove hand to win. And then I'm going to say I will have on the Flyers... Carter Hart's going to have a good game.
Alrighty, Drew, we have three votes here. Who do you have winning this argument here?
Personally, I think you both are pretty off. It's the Flyers and Penguins. We all know it's going to be like 6-5 or something like that. I'm going to go with Cameron.
Cameron, alrighty. Ethan, you want to be our second judge here?
Oh, Cameron, by far. I don't know how the Penguins shut the Flyers out 1-0.
And mathematically, obviously, Cameron will be the winner of this Crunch Time podcast. I'd like to thank you so much for listening this week. We'll be right back here every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We talk about NFL, NBA, not anymore. We talk about NHL, all of the major sports in the United States of America. We'd like to thank you for watching and listening. And we will see you all next week. Have a great rest of your week. Watch some sports. Stay safe. We'll see you soon.